finish when we finish. We'll sit here.
Hey. Okay, we'll make a start. I hope you guys had a great afternoon tea. I do want to start and just say, when I came up the first time, I actually never introduced myself. I just assumed everybody knew me. But I am Lionel, and I'm the kids pastor here at Life. So just want to get that out of the way so you guys actually know me. But we're going to call up Jeremy and Crystal. They're going to introduce themselves because they're very interesting people. But yeah, if you can put your hands together for Crystal and Jeremy.
Good afternoon. To introduce us, because Lionel forgot to do it the first time. I'm Jeremy, this is my wife Crystal. To give you sort of a little bit of a background of us, I moved from New Zealand. I'm originally a Kiwi, so don't get confused by that. My accent's a little off, but it's because I lived overseas for a while. So, but it seems to be coming back quite strongly, which is always nice. So I moved to Los Angeles back in early 2000s, and that's where I met Crystal. So we got married, and then 3 months after we got married, we made the move to London. She was a typical American because she didn't actually have a passport. The first time she had to get a passport was to come and meet my family.
America's big.
Yeah, America's also weird. But it is pretty cool. So we made the move to London, and we got quite involved with Hillsong London over there. And we were in the kids ministry for a number of years in different roles within the kids ministry. Then 2011, we made the move back to New Zealand. We had a 4-year-old son with us at the time, Ezekiel, and Crystal was pregnant with our second, Dominic. And so we came back and we got involved, and we were part of Life in Central, the Central campus, for about 4 years. And then we made the decision that we were going to move to the North Shore of Auckland, which we did. We bought a place over there, and then we've been the campus kids pastors up there for about 2 and a bit years now. So that's sort of our background. And we've got, as I mentioned, two sons, Ezekiel, who is now turning 11 in July, and Dominic, who is just turned 6 this last March. Yeah, we get both perspectives from a parenting side in terms of what kids' ministry is all about, and then the pastoral side. Thankfully, we've got lots of amazing team who help pastor our children because we can't seem to do it very well. Yeah, so what we're talking about today is we're not babysitters, which, because I wish we were, because can you imagine like 300 kids on a Sunday at like $10 an hour for 5 hours? Like that would be amazing. Like that would just be absolutely phenomenal. I don't know if we can pitch it. I mean, donations at the door? I mean, as the kids are registering, okay. Oh, well, there we go. There's something for maybe the business team to take up and have a look at, but yeah.
Should I jump in, babe?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, it's all about intentionality. Like, this is a really fun topic for us because it's something that we're really passionate about. And the whole topic today is building a faith-filled kids ministry. And I think a lot of that is around empowering the kids and empowering the leaders and creating those God moments. And one thing that we're super passionate about is that, and Harry alluded to it already earlier, I'm pointing to someone who's not there, Harry alluded to it earlier, is there's no junior Holy Spirit. We are convinced that God has a plan for these children right now. Like, they don't have to wait to grow up to step into God's plan. We're not prepping them to step into God's plan. We fully believe that they are walking in God's plan right now, and we're moving through that with them, alongside them, for what's to come. But now is really an important part of the journey. And we're just really aware of the right now, and that we're not waiting for them to grow up, for them to experience it. They can experience the Holy Spirit right now. They can experience God's plan right now. And, you know, when I heard the title, building a faith-filled kids ministry, that's what that means to me and to us both, is that they're moving in what God has for them right now and helping them understand that. And when we say right now, we actually mean preschool right through to primary. Make no mistake, we don't just mean primary. Right? There's a bit of a misconception out there, I think, with, you know, primary is like when all the stuff happens. Oh, no. No. Preschool, man, there's a lot that goes on in those wee ones, and let's bring that out, eh? Like, let's keep that going. So there's a few aspects, I think, that underpin this whole thing. Kids loving church, and Jeremy's going to talk about that a little bit. Intentionality, which I'll talk about, and then connection, which we're both going to chat about. So, yeah, kids loving church.
Yeah, so as Life Kids as a whole, across all the campuses, have got a what we call a brand promise, okay? And that's something called Kids Loving Church. And that's, we came to that brand promise after developing what we call the rocks. Now, I don't know if some of you may have seen this before, but there's an analogy, a leadership principle where you have a glass jar and you put big rocks in there. And now the rocks are the foundations of filling that jar. You know, they're always going to be there. They're large. They take up space. They kind of don't really move because they are large. They're heavy. But what you can then do is you fill the jar with sand and smaller pebbles, and it kind of fills it up. And so the combination of all those things help fill the jar. Well, it's the same with Life Kids. We have these rocks in place. That is the foundation that lets us go, always try and achieve that brand promise of Kids Loving Church. And I just thought I'd share a couple of them with you just to give you an idea of sort of, I suppose, what these rocks look like and why they're so important. So, you know, one of them is kids develop a personal relationship with God. Kids learn biblical truths. Kids make friends, which is just so important in this day and age, which we'll talk about in connection a little bit later on. Kids are safe. I mean, that's a huge part of what we do. It's the kids have to be safe, because if they feel safe, they're going to have fun. They're going to actually engage in that sort of thing. Kids worship God. Kids develop and find expressions for their gifts. Kids have outrageous fun. They don't just have fun. They have outrageous fun. They go to school on a Monday, and then on a Friday, they go, oh, man, you would not believe what happened in church yesterday. You know, that kind of outrageous fun. And families are pastored. So it's not just, we're not just citing the kids as individuals. They're part of a collective unit that God has his hand on, and God wants to move and take those families and impact the world that they actually belong in. So We've got that brand promise of kids loving church, because the bottom line is, if you love something, it's going to mean something to you. You're going to defend it. You're going to want to be around it. And it's going to be something. Like, I remember when I was growing up, I played cricket from the age of five. Now, I played from the age of five right till I was about 19. But I remember at 5 years old being out in the backyard with Dad, and I remember I got my first bat, and I was just like, oh, my goodness. This is amazing. Like, I've always loved cricket because I embraced it at a young age, and I stuck with it throughout those formative years. Now, I don't play now. I stopped playing 20 years ago, but I still love it. It's one of those things that in those formative years of kids, whether they are 2, 3, 4, 5, 12, 11, you know, 11, 12, 13, if kids get to the point where they are loving it, they're going to want to stick with it, and they're actually going to have it. Those, I suppose, that foundation, that what we want. Because as you know, as kids get older, they go through stuff, as we all do. So we want to make sure they've got that foundation there to know that, hey, look, I remember there was something about church. Remember what the kids team used to do, and as Harry said, the cream pies to the face and all the fun stuff and kids conference and all that kind of stuff. If they love church, it's going to sit with them as a foundational principle that's going to go with them through the rest of their life. And I think what maybe is sometimes quite hard is where do you have that point between you where you kind of go, okay, we've got to stop the fun and move into the biblical stuff. And I think that's probably one of the harder things to really get the revelation of. Look, God's not this God sitting up there, as we all know. He's not this God sitting there going, oh, look, you've had enough fun now. Now you need to learn the, you know, I don't know. I can't do all the biblical stuff very well, but, you know, it's about making sure they understand that, look, God created fun. Yeah. God is a fun God. He created humor. He created us to laugh. He created those things to invoke those emotions of happiness. He created our brain and our cortex to designed that way to allow us to have fun. So we've got to make sure that it's not a differentiation. You can have fun at the same time developing your relationship with Jesus. You know, because the fun is almost the starting point. You've got to engage the kids through fun. It's almost the gateway. Because if you've got a kid that has never been to church before, and, you know, you talk to a lot of adults that have never been in church before, they imagine the pews, they imagine the little red books, and they imagine the guy dressed in the robes, and they've got all these, you know, these things. No, I mean, we've had a couple of kids come along. Even I don't work for church full-time. Crystal works for church full-time. So in my work, I go along and say, you know, blah, 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 we got some new PlayStations for church the other day. And some of the guys I work with were like, what? I'm like, yeah, we've got a couple of PlayStation 4s for church. The kids love it. And they're like, what do you mean you've got PlayStations in church? Isn't it like singing and chanting and stuff? I'm not chanting? Seriously? We're not like monks. Like, it's, you know, it's about breaking down those stereotypes. So when the kids walk in, they've got to walk into something that's got atmosphere. They've got to walk into something that's going to catch their attention and go, oh, you can't do that with them getting a book as they walk through the door and go, right, learn these 50 memory verses. There's got to be fun to engage them and attract them to start with. It's got to be an element where they catch fire. You want to see their eyes kind of walk through the doors and go, oh, this is not what I was expecting. This is about actually making sure that you can catch them. You know, Pastor Paul loves his fishing, and you know, it's that first bite. You've got to catch them on that first bite, because otherwise you might lose them. You've got to have a fun atmosphere to allow that engagement to happen, because if the kids are engaged, they're going to be enriched by the Holy Spirit. Those moments, those God moments that we're all trying to cultivate and grow and have those opportunities for the Holy Spirit just to do his thing, have got to start from when the kids are engaged. As Harry was saying, if kids are bored, most of us, I imagine, are probably parents or have got nieces or nephews or obviously involved in kids' ministry. Who knows what it's like when you see the kids start going like this? They start just looking around. When they find the roof more interesting than what you were saying from the platform, you possibly need to change it up. Throw in a fart joke, okay?
I knew that was going to happen. I knew as soon as Harry said that today, you were going to jump all over that. I knew that was going to happen.
I knew
that was going
to
happen.
You know, but I love what Harry was saying. We said to him afterwards, there's so many things that you mentioned here that just dovetails in with what we're trying to get across. Kids will love church if they're interacting. Kids will love church if they're able to engage. Kids will love church if it's fun. But they're not individual components. They all overlap. They can have fun during the message. Because what that does, it engages them. If they're engaged, you're going to be able to create those moments where the Holy Spirit can come down to their level. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about whoever's holding the microphone. Some of the most amazing connections that we've seen have not been from when one of us is speaking up the front. It's from when their small group leader develops a relationship one-on-one with a child. And it can be through time where it's like, hey, how'd your football match go last Sunday? Hey, how was that birthday party you were going to in the week? How did that play date go with that friend? And you watch the kids go, oh, you remembered. It's that kind of engagement. It's about kids loving church. All that stuff encompasses why they want to come back. We have a bit of a joke where we have this thing when we introduce the 6 p.m. services at North. We wanted our kids to be dragging their parents back for the 6 p.m. So we had all sorts of things. We had pasta with your pastor. We cooked up all the spaghetti and had, you know, dinner with the kids. And just all this, the case of the missing dessert. The stuff that would allow the kids to go, oh, that sounds awesome. Bring your friends. Because if you say to your friends, hey, do you want to come to church? Hey, come along to church with us. We're having the case of the missing dessert. Oh, we get ice cream and everything. Really? Oh, that sounds awesome. The kids should be dragging the parents along. That's what it should be. Having that unadulterated drive, because they know they're going to have such a good time. Because then, and it doesn't actually matter. We'll get onto this with connection, but I'll kind of touch on it now a little bit. There's this phrase that we have, belonging before believing. If they love church, don't expect them to come along first swing and put their hand up. It's not about that. If they love it, allow the Holy Spirit to do his thing. And it may be the seeds that you're dropping that may take 10 years before, bang, all of a sudden, they have a God encounter and they go, oh my goodness, I've had this my entire life. We're on this journey with these kids, and whether it starts when they're tiny, when they're really little, and you go, okay, that's fine. You know, they're crying, they're tiny, they're 6 months old, they're not going to get it. But you know what? If they're surrounded by a family that's going to help raise them into the house of God, they're going to start loving it, and that's when the engagement's really going to happen. And you never know. It could happen at 5, it could happen at 15, it could happen at 25. But they're going to have a God encounter that is going to change their life, and they are going to be able to be used by God no matter what world they walk in.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think a lot of it has to do with that intentionality, that it doesn't happen by accident. You know, listening to Jeremy talk, he's talking about all the fun, but what was he doing? He was looping everything in. The fun was for a purpose. Yeah. The fun is for a reason. The PlayStations are to engage the kids so they're not looking at the ceiling. You know what I mean? That's beforehand, by the way. That's in the free time, just if anybody's wondering. The PlayStations happens in the free time. But it's to break down those walls, to break down those barriers so that they're open. Are we saying everybody needs to go buy PlayStations in your church? No, that's not what we're saying. Not all of our campuses have them. For some kids, it works. It breaks down the barriers. But it's that intentionality of setting kids up for the win. And how can we set kids up for the win? And we firmly believe that it actually comes down to every single detail. So it comes down to the team, it comes down to the rooms, it comes down to the toys, it comes down to the music that's in the room, it comes down to the leaders that are on what areas. If we actually look and break that down, now, there have been times lately where I haven't had a lot of thinking space. however, when I do have thinking space, what I am doing is actually looking at, okay, how can I break this down? How can I break down so that all signs point to two things? And all signs point to kids loving church and kids connecting with God. So how can we point every single sign to kids connecting with God? Because remember, we talked about in the beginning, they are on a journey with God right now. So how can we create those God moments? How can we make room for move? How can we make room for God to move? But how can we make room? God's going to move. But how can we create space for the kids to receive it? How can we open them up? Is that with, like I said, I really believe that it's with, the answer is with everything. With everything. In the rooms, our primary room up at North, and I'll just speak to North for just our particular campus for 1 second, but it's one big room, and that's all. Do you know, a lot of people are going, oh man, you've got a big church, you've got a lot of different spaces, and yeah, that's amazing if you've got a lot of different spaces, but let's be honest, how many of us do? Do you know what I mean? We've got one room at North. Yes, so what we ended up doing is we have a little room that was meant to be a four-year-old room on the side of it. Might have booted the four-year-olds out to something different. My apologies to some of my four-year-old leaders that are in the room. But created a bit more of a space. But what we're trying to do is make sure that everyone feels welcome. So all we did is create that little space so that it's got the craft stuff. It's a little bit toned down so that when a kid walks in, they can choose that door where it's a bit more calm, or they can choose. It's just a matter, what if you've got one space that you say, okay, this door, they're walking into a doggone game of handball, and this door, they're walking into coloring. Do you know, if you've got one same space, what can you do with that space to make sure that everyone is welcome? One of my biggest pet peeves for the longest time is I'd walk into our room and I'd go, this room is one personality and it's his. Do you know what I mean? It was loud and it was fun and it was amazing. It's possibly mine as well. But where is the room for the kids that sensory overload? That's actually just too much. Where is the space for them? Because if we say there's no junior Holy Spirit and we want them to engage, and yet God's moving, but if that kid is doing one of these, is he receiving what God's doing? No. So how can we make it so that everyone is in a place to actually receive what God's doing? And that I think that intentionality along the way. And for us, it's even with teams. So in preschool, so preschool and primary, two different examples, but in preschool, it's chatting with the groups and letting them know, the room leaders and the volunteers, hey, you're not just here to fill ratios. You're not just here so that we can operate safely. And when you are running a game, you're not just running a game so that the child doesn't, you know, to make sure that you're not supervising, to make sure that a child doesn't break a pencil or a child doesn't stab another child with a pencil in Jesus' name. But you're actually there so that while we're doing the craft, while we're doing the activity, can we link it back to the Bible story? Can we link it back to their week? I don't care that they're two or three. We can link it back to their week. Do you know what I mean? Like, we can. Yes, it's a little harder when they're one and two. I hear you. But do you know what I mean? We can just be talking about the message. What I've challenged our leaders is, even if you're not on the message doesn't just happen during the message. The message doesn't just happen when they're on stage. The message just doesn't happen when we're reading a Bible story. The message is from the time they walk in till the time they walk out. So if everybody's preparing and reading the Bible story and everybody's preparing and reading the message or the topic, that means everyone is all in when they walk in that room. And just because Jeremy's doing the message doesn't mean we're not all on the message and we're not all talking about the message and how it works. So if we're talking about in primary, we're talking about patience. How can we make it, give an example when the kids are ready to kill each other over the PlayStation? Hey, this is a great time. We're going to be talking about patience today. It's his turn and it's going to be your turn in a second. But you know what? God fills in the gap when we don't feel like we can wait anymore. One sentence. And then they're going to hear that again when the message comes in. That's our bottom line. God fills in the gap when we can't, when we don't want to wait any longer. Do you know what I mean? So if we're weaving it in everywhere, and preschool's no different. If we weave into preschool, if we weave in the activities and the crafts, it doesn't have to be something fancy. Do you know, with the curriculum that we use, they call for things that I can't do it times 1,000 kids. Are you kidding me? Do you know how expensive paper plates are in this country? Oh my goodness. You know what I mean? I can't weave something in and weave this magical, amazing, wonderful craft. You work with what you've got. And if what you have is drawing on a piece of paper and looking at an activity page that has Jesus and the lost sheep on it, great. So let's talk about it while we color in. And just letting those leaders know that they're there for more than supervision. We're actually here to help children see that God has a plan for their life right now. And I think also the intentionality in the rooms, we talked about that. And just like I said, just what it looks like. Hey, what does that space look like? And is everyone going to be in a position to receive? Praise and worship, and also transitioning kids. We've got, this is something that we're working on really hard right now, is, you know, you've got your preschool rooms, and then you need to bring your preschoolers. Eventually, they're going to turn 5, and they need to go into the big room. And how many of you have ever seen when they walk into the big room? You know, you've got these beautiful little kids that are all excited and they love preschool and everything's amazing, and they walk into primary and they go, and they're terrified. They're absolutely terrified. So we've started visits. We're starting visits with our kids so that just like school. So we have them in the preschool program. One of our amazing service oversights will take them in. Hey, you're going to be 5 soon. You want to go check it out? Let's go see what it looks like. So what are we doing? We're setting that child up so that that day when they go into primary, they're not closed to what God's going to do. So they're open to that. So we're just, those transitions we've found to be really, really effective in just introducing them to Connect Group leaders. In primary, we have Connect Group leaders. The kids are broken up into year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 boys and year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 girls. But depending on the size of our service, it may be 1, 2 girls, 3, 4 girls, 5, 6 boys, you know, grouped up a little bit if it's smaller numbers. But in those Connect groups, those are intentional conversations. But we want to make sure that when we bring someone in and it's a 5-year-old, who's my year 1 team leader or group leader? Who's my Connect group leader? Hey, how you going, Johnny? Let's go meet Pete. He's your Connect group leader today. He's going to stick with you and introduce you to some other kids your age. So we're breaking down those walls before they even come up. You know, there's an old sales trick called speaking into the objection. Before it even comes up, if any of you are in sales or business, you know that when you know that an objection's coming your way, you speak into that and you deal with it before it even comes in. So if we know that the preschoolers are going to freak right out when they go into the primary room, let's deal with that before it even happens, before it even comes in. And I'm going so much faster than we should be, Jeremy.
Yeah, no,
sorry. Okay. So I think in the other side of that that Jeremy was talking about as well is his connection and how important that is. You know, I alluded to it with matching Connect group leaders up, but I'm going to talk about this tomorrow quite a bit in depth when it comes time to teams. But there is a lot of research. There's something called sticky faith. There's a lot of research on generational leadership within within kids ministry, and having it not just be, you know, kids learning from a bunch of adults, but kids actually learning from kids. And in your room, who's in there? So we've specifically designed it so we've got youth in there. We've got, so it's not all youth. It's not all parents. It's not all some of them are so young adults that are not married yet, don't have kids. Some are married, don't have kids. Some have kids. Some are just young ones that are in our high school program. You know, that whole gamut, because there's something very powerful about speaking to a child about the same thing from five different perspectives. So if we've got different people in the room, they're going to take the same message and they're going to have a different spin or a different perspective on it to be able to influence the kids in a different way. And again, that's just breaking down that, those walls. So if we've got other kids, if we've got kids in there that we're wanting them to receive the message, as Harry was saying, you know, he gave you a great hour on a dynamic message. But what are we doing to set up the kids before the speaker comes? Before that message even happens, is just sowing into that. And that connection, genuine relationships, that's that kind of thing. In my growing up, in my life, Jeremy and I, God has a sense of humor in putting us together. Jeremy's my Christian bubble boy, and let's just say I was exactly the opposite. So with that, that we have different experiences and different perspectives, and I will tell you that every decision I ever made that was slightly compromising was in isolation. Every decision I've ever made that was compromising was in isolation. So how can we foster relationships in children now and getting them to connect to different people in different seasons, be it kids, be it youth, be it adults, parents, etc., to put them in a place that they are not isolated, that they are growing into connected, great relationships, and actually seeing that modeled. Because sometimes it always isn't. Do you know what I mean? I can't tell you how many times. I remember once when I grew up Catholic, and then later on when I went into a Christian church, I remember reading my Bible one night. And I was so angry because something I read in there hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just thought, no one told me that. I didn't know that's how God felt about that. You're kidding me right now. And I remember thinking, I wouldn't have made that call. I wouldn't have made that decision had someone just told me that that's how God felt about it. I loved God, but I didn't know that's how he felt about it. Do you know what I mean? How many times do our kids need to hear how God feels about something? And I firmly believe that that starts at a very young age. Man, those seeds that we're sowing now, are they for today or are they for tomorrow? It's both. You know, we don't know what they're going to go through, and we don't know what they're going to need to grab out of their basket. What if we set our kids with an awesome tool belt that later on in life they can go, oh, wait, I've got that there. I've got that right there. I can grab that. And that's with those building genuine relationships has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, and it's also really important to make sure that there is a genuineness to the relationships as well. And I don't know about you, but you know, you sort of look at the transitions through life, and if you watch like 2-3-year-olds walk up to each other, they've never met each other, and within about 35 seconds, they're pretty much best friends. And then as we get older, the worse we become at developing a relationship. You know, you go through it, and I mean, I've got a niece who's 15, and I think she's got 2,500 people that she follows on Instagram, and about the same that follow her. And she posts a photo, and I watch the feed, and, oh, look, it's amazing. Oh, you look beautiful. Oh, you're amazing. Oh, you're awesome. And it's like, you know, that's great. You know, they're all very positive comments. But I did ask her once, I said, you know, when was the last time someone said any of those to you actually in person? And she's like, oh, we don't do that. And I'm like, this is this generation that's coming through that doesn't know necessarily how to build genuine relationship. We had a series in church a little while ago on social media, and the comment was made is that, you know, it's a great servant, but it's a terrible master. So we make sure that we allow time within small groups where the kids are in basically connect groups with kids in the same year as them at school, and we split them generally into boys and girls. So all like the year one boys are all together and the year one girls are all together. And we've seen what's happened through that is that it gets to the point where the kids actually start to develop a friendship, And then play dates are happening. And then what actually happens is the parents get to go know each other. And then genuine relationship through the kids actually having no baggage, because they're too young to have a lot of baggage, that parents are actually finding themselves getting connected into church. It's the power of genuine connection. And it's what actually, I mean, I was reading a blog from the Hillsong Collective site, and there was a Nathan McLean, who's the kids pastor. He said they've got this phrase that church friends are life friends, because there is a common bond through understanding exactly who you are, what you were designed for, how much your Savior has done for you, and how much your Lord loves you, that allows that bond to create a friendship that's going to last way more than following each other on Instagram. Now, I'm not saying that Instagram is wrong or anything like that. Hear my heart when I say that. But there is an element that I think with today's world, today's society, we are so much more connected in the sense of digitally we're connected more than probably ever. But are we genuinely, in, like, have human contact? It's the one thing that's going to actually allow kids to go back to our brand promise of loving church. You know, if you're going somewhere with your friends, that's what they want to do. The reason why they love school is because they're best friends. You know, our youngest Dominic has got, all he does, he talks about his friends, Flynn, Lyle, and Wesley. And all the songs that Flynn makes up about, what is it? Jingle Bells, I Love Santa, Dominic is my best friend. Like, I mean, it's like, what? Like, that's, what? So funny. But there is an element that Dominic genuinely cracks up laughing every time he sings that. Because he's like, oh, Flynn is so funny. And there's no manipulation with it. It's just so pure in terms of their relationship. Now, Flynn, you know, his friend Flynn doesn't come to church, but he's saying, oh, I really want to get Flynn and Lyle along to church. I need to come to church. And there's not because he knows that he's been called to go out and tell people about Jesus and spread the gospel. No, he loves church. He wants his friends to be there because he associates church with being fun. He associates church with where he has a good time. He's only six. He's starting to get, oh, I really want to tell Flynn about Jesus. So it's slowly happening. But that's what it's all about. That's what a faith-filled ministry actually is.
There's a lot about that intentionality as well of weaving everything in. You know, you're right. Dominic hasn't been told he's doing it because he loves church. But in preschool, a lot of times the stories are around Jesus says we can tell others about him. That's a seed. Yeah. That's a seed that's planted, that's woven in for later. So, you know, never underestimate what is going on in preschool or in the little Bible stories. You know, if you think, man, I've just told a 5-minute Bible story to the kids. Did it sink in? Yeah. I believe it does. Do you know what I mean? Especially when we pray over them in advance, because whether he knows it or not, that's in there. He knows he's released to go tell other people about Jesus because he's heard that when he was 2. Do you know? So it's just getting that in there. But I reckon we need to fight for our kids a little bit, and possibly even a lot. You know, when we talk about intentionality in our programs, a lot of you will have programs that are all one age, that are all multiple ages. So it's just one group and they're all in, right? It's like an all-in kind of thing. Some of you will have it divided out a little bit. But if you have specifically decided to divide it out for any particular reason and you say, no, I've got preschool in this one and I've got primary in that one. Now, hear my heart on this. There is an exception to every rule, right? There's an exception to every rule. And we need to do things on a case-by-case basis, guaranteed. But, you know, I've been really challenged lately on just fighting for our kids in terms of sometimes, as parents, we bring a particular perception into kids' church and what we think it's going to be for our kids and what it looks like. And we've got to fight for that sometimes and come alongside the parent and explain what the program looks like, what's going to happen, and what their kids are actually going to experience. Because if you've got a parent coming in going, no, they have to be together. I'm going to put both of them in preschool, and that's just the way it's going to be. And you've got a 6-year-old. I know in my heart of heart that 6-year-old's going to miss out. Do you know what I mean? Now, there's an exception to every rule. No one lynch me. There's an exception to every rule. I get that. But do you know what I'm saying? There are so many times that I've had conversations with parents and I said, hang on a minute, let's talk this through. Let's find out what's going to happen. It is 1,000 times different from what they thought was going to happen. They were protecting their child because they thought they were going to be dumped in a room and it was going to look like this. And it didn't. When it didn't look like that, they went, oh, yeah, that's amazing. That'll be really fun for them. And I watched that kid changed. I watched that kid go in, and those walls are down, and they are loving it. Where I know that I know if they had walked in, a six-year-old walked in the preschool room, what's now more interesting? Where do we go? Where do the eyes go again? We're on the ceiling. Do you know what I mean? So I reckon it's okay to actually stand up for your program and for what you've done, because you've sat down, you've prayed about it, you've put it into place. You have done that with God's help. You have asked God for guidance on this. Don't be afraid to protect it for your kids and have a conversation with the parents. At the end of the day, if it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. Those aren't the instances I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones where kids are missing out due to a genuine misunderstanding. Let's not be afraid. I know I'm American and slightly more forward, but I'm just saying, let's not be afraid to actually come along and give parents the opportunity. You know, sometimes we make decisions that aren't necessarily what we would have if we had all the information. Let's not be afraid to give them all the information and let them know what's actually going to happen in the kids' program so that they don't make a decision that ends up not being 100% beneficial for their child when it comes to building relationship. I've seen so many kids protected from building relationship because it's, oh no, we don't want her in that group. Well, hang on a minute. What if I told you it was a group of only 10 girls and they're going to talk about the message and break it down? Oh, I didn't know that. So do you think she might enjoy being in a small group? And well, yeah, that's what we're looking for. Amazing, because that's what we're going to do. That parent doesn't know that. They walk into the room, they see everybody playing, and they think that's what it's like the whole time. Our parents think that our program, right, is like just what they see. That's all they can go on is what they see. So let's make sure that we're telling them what's happening and what's going to happen in the program so that nobody's missing out because of a misconception. Does that make sense? I've just been really challenged on that a lot lately. And the result that I've seen from just standing up a little bit and say, hang on a minute, let me just explain it to you. Let me just share this with you. Let me show you what's going on. And man, the difference we've seen is incredible. Yeah, it's been good.
And it's also about being prepared to know that, you know, there will be those parents that are naturally very protective of their kids, which, you know what, I'd rather have protective parents than ones that don't give a rip. But at the same time, I think it's just about coming alongside and realizing that as a kids ministry team, it's not an us and them. We've got to understand that this child is part of a unit, and that's why one of our rocks is that we're pastoring families as well, and that quite often that can be actually bringing the parents alongside, as Crystal said, and letting them know what the program looks like and what we're doing actually looks like, because there is a misconception from a lot of people. Because they've never experienced it. They don't know what it is. The classic line that we hear all the time is, you know, we sort of chat to people about serving and that kind of thing, and they're like, oh, no, I could never do kids. And you should challenge them and go, well, why? Because you're a parent, so saying you can't do kids kind of doesn't quite make sense. I'm just throwing this out there, okay? But why? And quite often it's because of a misconception. Oh, yeah, but I could never do the fun stuff. Well, are you a fun dad? Are you a fun mum? Do kids like being around you? By all accounts, look, your kids love you. Do you just splash cash at them? Is that how you do it? Because if that's the case, I'm happy to be a child. Like, no, it's about challenging the misconception and realizing that's part of being intentional as well. We've got to make sure that we are partnering with the parents so that, A, they feel like that they've given us the authority to speak into their child's life, but at the same time, making sure, like, we've got a bit of a thing with our program, a primary program, finishes up, depending on time and that kind of stuff, we generally try and finish with connect groups at the end. And we went through a season where we were always finishing connect groups early, and so we just let the kids have free time. And then we got kind of challenged to go, every time the parents come in, the kids are just running around. And so it's like, oh, is this a babysitting service? So what we did is we said, right, we spoke to our whole team and said, listen, what we're going to do, if you finish the material from the curriculum and you're kind of running out of things to do, think of a game you play in your Connect group. but it is in your connect group. It doesn't have to be running around. They play this game called Ninja, which is the kids kind of stand in a circle and they're allowed one movement. And if they, but you basically have to try and chop off the legs and arms. We play it in primary, so it's all right. You have to chop off the legs or the arms of your person standing either side of you. It's quite cool. And
I can't play that game, just so you know. Like, it's so confusing. Go on.
Yeah. It's quite complicated. That's why we play it with, like, five-year-olds. So what we do is, but it's a game that they don't run around in. They have to stand still because as soon as you've done the movement, you have to stand still. And then the next person has their turn. You've got to kind of dodge it once, but then you have to stand still. But what it does, the kids are having fun, but at the same time, it's an element of control. So when the parents walk in, it's not chaos, fighting over the PlayStations and kicking a ball around so the parent gets hit in the face with a ball. And, you know, it's an element of control. But what it does, it breaks down some of those misconceptions that perhaps some parents have, because, you know, it's just the same as if you walk into church and everyone is talking to everyone else apart from you. It's like, oh, what's going on? No, we want to create the element where the parents understand that, no, this is actually a God-filled place. The kids are being spoken over. They are getting seeds planted that are going to sprout through time, and it's going to allow the Holy Spirit to actually create or have those moments with those kids. And it may be, I mean, I remember I challenged the kids, I think, last school holidays, and I said to them, I want to challenge you guys, you know, during the school holidays, just take 10 minutes and read your Bible once a day. That's all. For the school holidays, it doesn't have to be fun. You don't have to go to the, you can go to the movies and stuff, but just take 10 minutes. Just because you're not, you know, if you're going away for the holidays, you know, you're not going to be at church next Sunday, doesn't mean that God can't go with you. So I just want to challenge you, try and read your Bible every day for 10 minutes. Now you say that, and you come off at the stage of thinking, oh, yep, don't think anyone heard that. And I got a text message from one of our friends on the Wednesday, and he said, this is, I just found Josh doing this. And he was in his onesie getting ready for bed, and he was reading his Bible all by him. Like, he's only six. Now, I was like, wow. And I messaged him. I said, well, that's awesome. He's reading his Bible. He said, no, he's done this every night since church. And he said, so I said, well, why? He said, Pastor Jeremy said that we need to read our Bible every night with the school holidays. And he goes, I really want to do that because I want to find out more about God. That's from a six-year-old. That has nothing to do with me, okay? Nothing to do with me whatsoever. But that's about making sure that he's in an environment. And Dave was like, he's never done that before. Now, they've been in church their entire lives. That's a seed that's been planted on him since he was two about reading your Bible. That just took that one sentence for him to go click. Holy Spirit goes, hey, Josh, maybe you should. And that's when that seed is planted. That couldn't have happened unless we were intentional with making sure we're doing it. Sometimes we feel like we're doing the same thing over and over again. Those are seeds, and it's going to take a little bit of routine to make sure that we're doing it. But again, it all boils back to intentionality. Everything we do needs to have a purpose. Everything we do. How we set things up, how we talk on stage, who we put on stage. They don't have to be all loud and crazy all the time. It can be someone who's very, very mellow. We've got a guy called Lex who is a granddad. I think he's 60s. I don't know. He's about Lionel's age. But he is very, very different. He's very, very different to us. He's very, very different to Ryan and some of the guys that speak. He's just very low key, and he has just that grandfatherly, just that papa thing. You know what I mean? Like just that fatherly influence where the kids kind of just sit and listen as if they're just listening to their grandfather. And it's beautiful because sometimes the kids are little snots and they're not listening and they're looking at the roof and they're flicking each other's ears and all that kind of stuff. But you watch some of the because generally, I don't know about you guys, but in our church, all the young ones sit right down there. All the five-year-olds sit down the front. They have to be quite nearest the stage, playing with the speakers, tapping the stage. And then the big ones are too cool for school, so they're sitting up the back kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever, I've heard this before. But there's times when the way that Lex portrays a message, and I look at it and go, I would have done that so differently, but God still uses it. God still wants, because there's going to be just like the atmosphere in the rooms. We've got some kids who hate our big primary room. They love the little room off to the side because there's no music playing in there. We've got the music coming from the stage up the front, and it's always, you know, quite upbeat and that kind of stuff. But off that room is a little sanctuary, and you'll find the same kids in there every single week, just colouring, just cutting, just sitting around talking, the connection that goes on that room is absolutely incredible.
It's just making room, eh? Because like I said, you know, I'm quite conscious that we're all in completely different places. And, you know, in our three different campuses, we're all at very different places, so we do things differently. And in our central campus, they're able to have a special needs ministry. Look, I'd love to have a special needs ministry. I'm there. I'm there, boots and all, right? I'm ready. Well, I do. I just don't have a separate room. Does that make sense? So we're still making room for our kids that may have some special needs and that it may be a little bit difficult. We had one a couple nights ago that I have a sensory corner. And you guys, it's not amazing. It's not amazing at all. It's got some camo net on the top. It's got solid color bean bags. Those little toggle rugs from Kmart. You know those bath mats, the toggle bath mat you're talking about? Yeah. I got those down on the floor and some sensory balls. And that is what I have in that corner. It is not flash. It is mixed. It's kind of, it's not amazing at all. And I'm looking at it going, oh, this could be so much cooler, right? Young girl comes in, autistic girl, doesn't like a lot of the noise, comes in. We haven't been able to get her into church before. Walks into that area, sits down, and just sits there kind of on her own. I walk in, say hi, chuck a sensory ball on the beanbag. Walk away. Next thing I know, she's playing with the ball. Next thing I know, I chuck a Rubik's Cube on there, playing with the Rubik's Cube. Next thing I know, she's up and she's in the other room watching the message. It's just making space. Do you know what I mean? I'm not able to say, oh, we have a special needs ministry. No, but I can still take her in. I can still create space in what I have. And if what I have isn't massive, I can still make it work. Even if it's just a corner, chucking some camo net up. We can make that happen. But like I said, I think sometimes it can be daunting, but I actually find it very exciting and encouraging to think everything matters. You know, sometimes you look at it and it's like, ah! Oh my gosh, if everything matters, oh my gosh, how do I think of everything? Well, you don't, but you know that what you do think of does matter. Everything matters and everything's planting a seed, everything's sowing. I feel like we're overdoing Harry's point that says say the same thing more times than once. So what I would love to do is just open it up for some questions and answers a little bit. We're going to talk a lot about teams tomorrow. But yeah, if you've got questions on some of the stuff we're talking about today, can we make that happen? You need one of these mics, don't you? Okay, awesome. Thank you, Jamie. It was almost that awkward moment that he talked about, right? With like, you do an altar call and no one raises their hand. It almost happened just now.
This might sound dumb, but what's camo net? And can you describe how it looks? Do you hang it from the ceiling? I don't quite get it.
Oh, yeah. So it's literally just this. I think we found it at a camping store or something. And it's literally just like camouflage. Is that American? Do you not say camo? Okay. It's just camouflage, like netting kind of mesh stuff that you can get. I think they use it for like in paintball courses when they hang it on the side, you know, just to, yeah. And I literally just billowed it, tacked it up in a few different ways, billowed it from the roof. And it was just to give a feeling of, because obviously if you've got sensory stuff going on and you walk into a room and it's all oosh, yeah. Just to make it feel a bit more... So the ceiling's a bit lower and a bit softer and just a bit more enclosed and a bit more of a calmer area. So that's what that is.
Just to follow up on that corner, how do you stop other kids using it? Like 9-year-old boys jumping in and playing army man in there and stuff.
Yeah, it's amazingly boring to them. Do you know? Because the camo's up high. It's like literally hung up. And then I just have a few bean bags there. But there's no toys in that area. All there is this. Now, the sensory balls get thrown around like nobody's business. But I do make rules on the sensory balls. And I come up and say, okay, that's not for you. And, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not. It's boring. But if you've got special needs... It's not a boring corner. It's quite a calm space. But if you don't, it's not of interest to you. You know
What do you do with kids, or especially with their parents as well, who, like, I guess the kids who don't really want to come to kids' church at all and their parents just kind of are okay with that and then take them to church, but then it's... And then so every Sunday you see them, you're like, oh, the decision is like already there that they're going into big church. How do you start shifting that?
Most of the time, I position myself so that I'm strangely there when they come in, and I always just say hi, and I give them a one-liner of what we did upstairs with no expectation. So I just be like, oh, hi, Lane, how you going? Hey, do you know what we're talking about today? Jeremy's going to actually get up, and I'm possibly going to throw a cup of water on him. I'm just saying. And then off I go. And then or I'll come up, and I'll be like, oh, my gosh, do you know what's happening today? This is happening today. You should totally see it. That's so amazing. Are you going to come next time and see it? Let me know. So we just little drips, drops. You know, so people, everybody's different. I liken people to a bag of popcorn. You know, everybody pops at a different pace. And we don't know when those kids are gonna pop. And I don't know what it's going to take. But I'm going to try. And I'm going to make sure that there's little drips along the way, little breadcrumbs. And for some people, that's just their thing and it's not going. They're not going to come up. But I just want to make sure that if there's a misconception there, I'm going to break it down.
The other thing that we have done sometimes that has worked has we've actually invited the parents to come in and just say to them, hey, listen, would you feel more comfortable if maybe mum or dad came and sat? Because they're more than welcome to come and see, just so you get familiar and you have a separate conversation with the parents going, listen, we're happy for you to do that. Because some kids just take longer to pop. Because especially, I suppose, for us, you know, if they come into happen, say, on a second service on a Sunday morning, we can have over 100 kids in the primary room, which if you're a little bit more reserved and you don't know anyone, I mean, that's okay. What adult feels comfortable walking into a room with 100 plus other adults that seem to know each other and you're the only one that doesn't know anyone? I mean, you know, there'd be very few of us that would feel comfortable doing that. So I probably would. But yeah, it's an element of, I suppose, coming alongside the parents and the child and just saying, look, it's actually okay. You don't have to come in and leave mum and dad straight away. Just come and check it out. 10 minutes. Come in for the first 10 minutes and just see what it's like. And then what we've found is that some kids are like, oh, okay, this is not as... Oh, there we go. Oh, yeah, so it's sometimes just about offering an alternative. Rather than it be either you either come by yourself or don't come at all, it can be literally, hey, look, again, that family unit, maybe does mum or dad want to come along and just stay for 10 minutes just to check it out? Stay for the first couple of minutes, and if you like it, you can stay longer.
Just real quick before I forget, it's we didn't talk about it at all today, and it's partially in the topic, but you know, we've also been really challenged with kids and leaders being concerned about the whole discipline issue. What do we do when we've got kids that are bouncing off the walls? What do we do when we've got unruly children? Well, I think first of all, and this is, again, slightly controversial, but I think we change our mindset and we don't think of them as unruly children. And yeah, I know, believe me, I know how they're acting and I know that unruly child is the first thing that comes to mind. I know, I'm aware of that. However, we don't know what's going on in their world. We don't know how their body and their mind is able to express what's going on in their world. We don't know what they're about to process. We don't know what God's doing in their life. And I think we've really been very intentional lately. There's that word again, but very intentional about coming alongside a child. It's not about no, stop doing that. It's about speaking into who God says they are. You know, hey, did you know that God is actually going to use you one day to speak to other kids? So how can you do that if you're monkeying around and throwing a sensory ball on the floor? Come, let's go meet someone. Do you know we have a little boy who his parents are in the process of getting him tested for just some behavioral things and stuff that's happening right now. He's been having a lot of struggles sitting in, and he's all over the show. And whatever he can throw, he'll throw it. And I was just standing in the back one day, and we had asked Dad to come in. We said, hey, Dad, can you come alongside and perhaps give him an example of how he needs to engage in kids' church? Yeah, awesome. So Dad came in, and guess what? Dad only reined him in twice. Now I'm talking, we are reining this child in constantly throughout the service. Dad only reined him in twice, and I thought, okay, so we know that he can do it. We knew that he could do it, right? But we know that he can do it. I've just seen that. So we thought, okay, I don't care what he's doing or he's being tested for. The bottom line is, I know this little chappy can engage. So stood in the back, and I thought, all right, what are we going to do now? So I pulled him aside after. He was just all over the shop, including climbing on the stage. And so I pulled him aside afterwards. I said, hey, just come here for 2 seconds. And so he comes over, and he's quite stiff. And I said, you know, I just want to chat with you about something. I said, I know that God has something for you. I know that God's got something on your life. And I know that God's going to use you to help other people. And I know that something that's happening in your life right now is going to help somebody one day. And you know, I've got a special job for you. Now, let's be honest. Did I have a job? Not yet. I was going to think of one though. And I said, I've got a job for you and I'm going to need your help. And I know that who God's created you to be is someone who can do that job and do it so well. But if you're jumping all over the show, you're going to miss it. And I don't want you to miss it. So how do we make it so that when we're in connect groups, we're going to listen so we don't miss it? We're not going to miss what God's going to say to us. And I know that if you're going to listen, I'm going to be able to give you that job. Can we do that? Yeah. That child then went into connect groups, sat through the entire thing, answered questions, and engaged the whole time. And he has never done that before. Why? Because I challenged myself to not just go, okay, no, you can't throw this. Okay, no, get off the stage. We can't do that. We can't do that. What is he going through? So I came alongside and I spoke to who God said he was. Not who he thinks he is. Not who his behavior is telling him he is. Because if we believe he is not his behavior, if we believe that that label is not that child, that God has more for that child, then let's speak into what God has for that child. And I reckon any of our kids that we know need a little bit of attention, are we spending time praying and going, God, what do you got for them? What do you have? What can we do? How can we bring that out? And coming alongside, pulling the kid aside, and we prayed together, by the way. So I said, let's pray together. Let's get some strength going. Let's see what we can do. So what are we doing to come alongside our kids and make sure that God is moving, but also meeting them where they're at as well? Because we don't know what's going on in their world. Anybody
else? Yeah, hello. I love your concept of building faith in kids. You talked about kids going home, reading the Bible, and letting parents see that they're engaged in, you know, group activities and stuff like that and growing community. Can you tell us about some of the ways how you measure faith in kids and their growth in their faith? We got things like learning memory verses and serving on team, but do you guys have a strategy around how you track that a kid's growing spiritually? Do you have any suggestions around that?
That's a great idea, Jamie. That's a great thought. I don't think from a tracking perspective, we probably don't have anything in place, but we just make sure we have things in place so that it is happening. And if we don't see response from those things happening, then we scrap it. Does that make sense? So we've instigated, and I know Melbourne's doing the same thing, but we've started doing tribes at North, and we do tribes mostly to affect positive behavior. But we're adding in bringing their Bible, doing a memory verse challenge. So we had the kids get in their connect groups, and we printed out these little memory verse cards on like a business card size. And those business card size cards are given to the kids each month. And we just scrapped one part of a connect group activity one day. And we said, okay, the activity is going to be that all the kids are going to have to come up with their own actions for this verse. And so they came up with their actions and they did their thing. We've had memory verse battles through the tribe and that kind of thing where who can remember them and various things. So I don't think we have anything in place to track formally, but more just putting those things in place and watching and seeing it actually happening. I mean, if we put the memory verses out there and nobody knows the verse, then it's probably not the right way to teach them for our kids. So we'll figure something else. So I think we do consistently test it, have put something in place that has a something that we can see on the other side, like the memory verse challenge. You know, instead of just giving out the cards and leaving it, we'll give out the cards and then play a game and see what's happening on the other side.
I loved how you talked about like connection happening and connect groups and then leading to play dates and parents connecting. Do you have any other strategies or things that you guys do to encourage connection with leaders and parents, whether that's like after the service or just midweek, and how you just kind of bridge that relationship?
With kids, it's more... with parents, we haven't cracked that nut yet, to be quite, do you know what I mean, open and honest. I think part of it actually is after the second service, there is space for them to just, it's not a short term, there's not nothing else happening after that. So, you know, those of you with single services, is actually a gem there in after the service, there being connection time. And that's really cool. But in terms of with kids, it's making sure that they're introduced to other kids and introduced to just the people in the room and not just the leaders. With the leaders, we've started doing every quarter. We've put we do a team night of some sort. So very similar to what Harry was saying, where we just come, we feed them, and we just hang out. And we hang out, and we have a little bit of a practical, because people are hungry for practical stuff, too. Do you know? They want to know what, yeah. So we do that practical stuff, and then we just do a hangout time. But I'll talk about it tomorrow, but we've started to put something in place to make sure that, because as our teams are growing, it's becoming harder to look after every single person. And like I said, I'll talk about that tomorrow because it's something that's really on my heart at the moment, but is making sure that people are looked after. And so we've put a few things in place that way.
One thing we try and really encourage our Connect Group leaders to do is that if they, suppose, if there's a particular child that is a good, has a, I don't know, prays for another kid, out of unexpectedly saying, you know, whatever it may be, a good or a positive thing, we try and make sure that they know who that child's parents is. So it's not just us being connected to all the, as it, it's not us as the kids' pastors to know all the families. We want to make sure that, for example, if your five-year-old comes along, you know that it's actually Leroy who looks after the year one boys, and you actually develop a relationship with him so that you know who, you know, little Jimmy is going to be going to basically sit next to in Connect Group and that kind of stuff. And that way the relationship, because again, we, you know, just like probably if any of you guys lead a kids ministry, you know, you can be all over the place on a Sunday and you don't actually get to see the individual stuff. Whereas that's why we're trying to empower our Connect Group leaders to make sure that they are communicating back to the parents of what's going on. Even if it's something like, hey, he mentioned that he had a rough week at school, is everything okay? You know, like building and fostering relationships at that level rather than always having to come through us, because we just sometimes just don't know, because we can't be in there. We've got things going on or whatever, if we're speaking from the platform, whatever it may be, you know. But that kind of stuff, because that's where, in those Connect groups, that's just so vital, because that's quite often, you know, they'll start, we have one in the beginning, which is just a bit of a catch-up, who had a great week, who had something exciting happen, what's going on, oh, you had some stuff happen at week. Oh, so then we go through the program, and at the end, we have Connect groups again, and then normally for about, well, 15 to 20 minutes. And it's a good opportunity for those Connect Group leaders to actually really connect with the kids. And quite often what we've seen is that kids that have been struggling with stuff, it'll, the Connect Groups will finish, service will end, and quite often you look around, you'll see a Connect Group leader just sitting with one of the kids one-on-one and just having those conversations. And then the parents are waiting. And it's really cool is you quite often see the parents just stand back and just let that conversation happen. And then quite often you'll see the kids will go off and the Connect Group leader and the parents will be having that conversation. And we've just heard some amazing stories come out of that where, you know, the especially the year one and twos, they love their Connect Group leaders. We've got this lovely, amazing lady, Jenny, at North, who she looks after all the year one and two girls, and they just love her. We hear stories about how the girls go home and they pray for Jenny every night and stuff like this. Like, it's amazing. And it's just that natural fostering of a relationship that allows, I suppose, not necessarily come through through us, but it comes through the people that are actually dealing with the kids one-on-one on a regular occurrence. So, yeah.
And the good news is we don't have to listen to us anymore. So, it's about that time. If you have any more questions, we're happy to stick around and answer those. But we'll let you, because I know a lot of you have to get across to South to get your little people or want to take a few minutes to have a dinner break. So we're going to wrap up here. Thank you so much. And we'll have a few more things to share tomorrow, but we'll pass over to Lionel now.